Thank you very much for that beautiful song, and thank you for your beautiful fellowship. And wow, there's more people here tonight in the auditorium than were here this morning in the auditorium. And Pastor, thanks you for coming back. I didn't realize, because I'm sitting down here and I don't have eyes in the back of my head, so I couldn't see exactly who all were here. But thank you. I know why you're here. I trust it's for the Word of God, okay? Is that what it's all about? But you don't think it's possible for me to get finished by 7 o'clock. My wife is betting against me. I just want you to know. But I do have a special announcement to make, because even as I said that, I want you to know that my wife and I are willing to take questions this week. It's impossible for us to cover everything. So I'm going to finish by 8 o'clock each evening this week, Monday through Thursday night. I'm going to finish by 8 o'clock. But if you want to turn in questions to my wife, to me, to Nathan, to Karis, to Abby, we got a lot of Herpsters around here. You can even give them to Pastor. And we'll take those questions. And each evening, if we have questions, for those of you that want to stay after 8 o'clock. Now, you don't have to, but you'll be shamed if you don't. No, I'm just kidding you. But we'll have a final song, and people can be dismissed that need to be dismissed and get their kids to bed and all that kind of thing. But if you'd like to stay, and especially if it's your question that's going to be answered, you might like to stay and hear the answer to it. We'll kind of divide that up over the week, and so we'll be answering questions as well. Some of them I may say, I'm going to answer that on Wednesday night. I'm going to answer that on Thursday night or something like that. And each night, before the next night, I will tell you what the Lord has led me to preach that next night. As I told you this morning, my wife and I have had the privilege of being in a lot of churches, a lot of camps. I was involved with the American Association of Christian Schools, so there's plenty of messages that we have that we can share. But I'm trying to sense the Lord's leading right now. Tomorrow night, I'm planning on preaching on the foundations of the Christian home, because except the Lord build the house, what? They labor in vain that build it. And so we need to make sure that we have the proper foundation. Any construction workers here? Anybody that knows that the first thing that has to go in is the foundation? And if you don't have a strong foundation, guess what? The walls come a-tumbling down. And we'll say more about that next week. But that's why many years ago, I told you this morning that I made the commitment, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And as the loving leader of my home, I'm reviewing if you don't realize what's happening right now, Sunday morning attenders. For the loving leader, you know, it's our decision. We have to set the pace. We have to set the example. And on the CD back there called Faithful Servant, the first song on here is kind of a testimony to Dad's commitment. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. This is a CD that the sons did and dedicated it to me, surprised me with it at our church in Kansas City, and that very first song is one of the foundational songs on this CD, but also principles in my life as I sought to make my home number one. Remember, it was the first institution established by God, so it should be the first priority for me, and I'll talk to you about priorities tomorrow night. And then I have a couple others. Each night I'll kind of be talking about some of the CDs. And, of course, they're back there. And many of you have already taken advantage of the opportunity. I'm so glad Nathan asked us to bring them. We don't always take them with us when we travel. But our sons were involved in evangelistic work, Mark and Mike. And so there's a couple back there from the evangelistic team. Both of these are beautiful. You Are Worthy of Praise. And this is all kinds of different mixed ensembles, solos, duets, all kinds of different things. And their latest one is Total Devotion. This is the newest CD on the table. I appreciated we had somebody say, you ought to do a Christmas CD. I can tell you the family has talked about it right now. It's just been difficult for us to get the family all together at a recording studio. We've done several Christmas concerts, and I said, well, they have done several Christmas. I've sat there and enjoyed every minute. No, I did sing in a couple of them. They got us up there. Again, even got Nana up there. But so maybe one of these days we'll be able to get everybody together and we'll actually be able to record it. But these two are out here, and the ladies are there all the time, and they can explain about the different CDs that are available. And if you'd like to have some of those, please go by there before or after the service and take advantage of them. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 13. Now, for those of you who've been saved for some time, when I have you turn to Romans chapter 13, you will say, oh, yes, I know what that's all about. That's not about the family. That's about what? Government. Is government one of the institutions that God established? How many of you are in Sunday school? Did you show your scores to your spouse? Did you show your scores to your children? I had one person come up and tell me their score, and it was only 80%. I don't know why they were telling me when it was only 80%. But that's all right, Joe. I appreciate you telling me about it. I've already found out that Joe's a good sport, so I can pick on you, right, Joe? Oh, I can't? No, I can't. And I'm just thankful that you learned from that exercise, and hopefully it'll be a help, and you can take that and train somebody else and teach somebody else, and especially your children. But you know, the family is under attack. Did you know that? And we have the responsibility to protect our families. We need to have a responsibility to do that, yes, from the media, yes, from false teachers. Yes, we have the responsibility to do that from the wrong kind of friends, and we'll be talking about all these things this week. But we have the responsibility to even do it from our government. And all of a sudden, you look shocked. But the ministry that I'm involved in, when I left the pastorate, I really got involved in Washington, D.C., in a ministry called Advance USA. Advance USA, advancing the cause of righteousness in the United States of America. It's Americans defending values and national conservative efforts, if you want to really have it all down, in the USA. And in the years that I've been involved through the American Association of Christian Schools and then through this new organization that I established, I'm telling you, things have got worse and worse. Does that surprise you? Oh, it seems like in 1 Timothy 3 someplace, doesn't it say that things are going to wax what? But you know, we're also told to occupy until he comes. You were told to be salt and light in the world in which we live. And we have that responsibility to protect our homes and our families as the attacks are on. And guess what? We need to protect our nation from going into compromise and into liberalism, even in the society in which we live. So let's read the first seven verses of Romans chapter 13, and let's talk about this important responsibility we have of protecting our homes and our families. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for what? For good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Thus, the justice system of the United States of America. I am a person that believes in law and order and justice, and that we need to bring good upon those that do good and evil upon those that do evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for the wrath, not only for the punishment that's coming, but also for conscience' sake, because it's the right thing. The Holy Spirit should give you that burden. For conscience' sake, for this cause pay ye tribute also, that they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. That's just a reminder of April 15th. Just a little simple reminder. But don't you wish you could do it the way Jesus did it, just go a fishing? And get the I guess we go a working is what we do, and the government takes a whole bunch of it. But render therefore to all dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, this is God's plan. Government is supposed to be bringing good upon those that do good and evil upon those that do evil. But government sometimes gets that messed up. Sometimes they get it mixed up. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to see evil being brought upon those that do good, and good being brought upon those that do evil. And guess what? The American people are starting to see that as well. I don't know how many of you ever watch the news. Now, that can be helpful, that can be hurtful, and sometimes it's fake. It's been amazing to me the number of times I've sat in a meeting in Washington, D.C., and then later heard the news report about the meeting that I sat in, and I'm saying, is this the same meeting? Have you ever heard about spin? Well, there's a lot of spin that goes on sometimes in these situations. But I'm watching before my very eyes and watching where all of a sudden those things that are good are people are being punished for, and those things that are evil, people are being rewarded for. And hallelujah, the American people, and parents in particular, are waking up. Virginia. How many of you know where Virginia is? Aren't you glad to be in the heart of America? I'm telling you, it's amazing to me how crazy stuff starts on the East Coast and the West Coast and kind of works its way. By the time it gets to the heart, and hopefully we get it knocked down, you know, we get it taken. And by the way, in Congress, that's pretty much how you see your representation taking place. And so thankful for your representatives here in Kansas and for the way they're helping knock things down and take care of things that maybe might come from the left coast or the east coast. Oh, did I say left coast? West coast, I'm sorry. Just somehow slipped that. That's what it is. But the attacks are on the family. And all of us need to get involved to be able to have the victory. We need to be good soldiers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you some of the things we're battling right now in Washington, D.C. I have the privilege or the responsibility or the misfortune, whichever way you want to look at it, to go to Washington, D.C. on a regular basis. Advance USA started because of a friend of mine, John Ashcroft, who was the governor of Missouri, later became the senator and then attorney general, and when I was the president of the American Association of Christian Schools and was involved in that national organization, he told me, he says, Carl, what we really need is not a lot of people. We just need the right people. You know, remember, God didn't need an army to defeat Goliath. He just needed a faithful shepherd boy who believed God and trusted him. And he didn't need a major army. Gideon's band was enough. And he said, what you really need is you just need to have some people in strategic areas of the country that know their member of Congress well. I was saying a little bit about this at lunch, and Patrick told me that he goes to the gym sometimes and sees a senator right there in the gym. I said, hallelujah! I happen to know Jerry Moran pretty well myself because he was a congressman and before he became a senator. And he traveled with me from Kansas City many a time on the direct flight from Kansas City to Washington, D.C. when I was president of the American Association of Christian Schools. And you're very fortunate to have somebody like that representing you. How many of you know who your U.S. congressman is? Oh, good. Joe, I'll give you a chance to redeem yourself. Who is it? Patrick. Yes, and I haven't had the privilege of getting to know him yet, but some of you probably have, and you could a lot easier than me. And so what my job is to do is to network people with their member of Congress and have them network with them with me. So when I'm in Washington, D.C., he knows I'm not there just because of Advance USA, but I'm there because I'm representing you. But I also try to get you up there. And General Ashcroft told me it just takes a few people to have a relationship with their members of Congress so that when an issue comes along, you can talk to them about that issue. And you can show them what the Bible says about it, because Proverbs 14 and verse 34, are you familiar with it? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we need to help our members of Congress understand the issues and understand what's going on in some of the bills. Some of the things that I'm going to tell you about even now. that are attacks on the family. Now, I could talk about a lot of other things. As a matter of fact, Advance USA, we're involved in five issues. Five issues. We're involved in pro-family issues. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're involved in pro-life issues. And, of course, that affects the family as well because we don't even have families when we're killing babies. And then we're in pro-justice issues. I talked to you, the courts and the different appointments, judicial appointments, very, very important. Then we're involved in pro-morality issues. We're trying to deal with that. I'm going to tell you the drug culture and everything that's going on and some of the things that are happening to not deal with drugs the way they were once dealt with and all the problems there and the marijuana issue and just go on the immorality, the sexual revolution, and the destruction that's going on, a lot of things that are going on there. And then we're involved in pro-religious freedom issues because we need to have the right not only to worship the way we want to worship, but we need to have the right to raise our children the way we want to raise our children. And so all these are issues that we're involved in and constantly trying to keep up on and make a difference in. But here's four family issues that are going on right now in Washington, D.C., that we need to protect our families from, and by God's grace, so far, we have. Now, that's contrary to what maybe you're hearing on the news, because you'll hear some of these things passing, but what you're going to hear passing, you're going to hear them passing from the House of Representatives. How many of you did a good job in government class? Now, don't have to raise your hand. But if it's not enough for something to just pass the House of Representatives, what else has to happen? It has to pass the Senate. And praise the Lord, it's a divided Senate, but so far it's been divided the right way, just enough to tip it to the right, so a lot of these things haven't happened. And if it passes the Senate, then which the infrastructure bill, if you're familiar with that, not an issue we really got that much involved in, because it's not one of those five issues. But as it passed the House and passed the Senate, then what has to happen? The president has to sign it. And when he signs it, then all of a sudden we go bankrupt again. And inflation goes in through the roof. And gas prices, don't get me started on the economical issue. Now, I sometimes will get involved in the economical issues because some of the moral issues are involved in that too. I call moral and money. You have moral issues and money issues. And the love of money is the root of all evil. And so why are we having so much evil? Because too many people look at it from the money standpoint there than the moral standpoint. But primarily, we're dealing with the moral issues. And so we have to help some of these people understand the moral side of things. The first issue that we're dealing with is the whole matter we talked about this morning, the definition of a family. What is a family? Okay, review. Number one, it's? Good. Number two? Great. Leave father and... Boy, Chuck, when he gets dressed up, doesn't he shine? I mean, he's just really... And I'm not talking about your head. No, I wasn't talking about your head. I'm not going to be that offensive. You know, at least not yet. Maybe we get to know each other better. But okay, so that's number two. Become one flesh, that unity, and till death we do part. Excellent. Well, you know what they're saying in Washington, D.C.? It's SOGI. SOGI. Have any of you heard what SOGI is? Any of you know what those four letters stand for? I'm just curious. Okay. SOGI is sexual orientation and gender identity. Sexual orientation and gender identity. And from the time this new administration took over the House of Representatives, it took over the White House, and in some ways took over the Senate. Every bill that's coming out of the House of Representatives, every bill that's being suggested by the President of the United States has SOGI language in it. How many of you ever heard of the Equality Act? Because that makes public news. They don't tell you SOGI that much. But the Equality Act was basically their first salvo, you know, where they were trying to get the whole enchilada, you know, they're trying to get it all, take it all in, where they were able to pass a bill that would say, just like we cannot discriminate over race and religion. We cannot discriminate over sexual orientation or gender identity. And that includes the church. Do you see any problems there? That encourages the families that make up the church. And it could be a hate crime. For us to preach the Bible, it would be a hate crime. And preachers would be going to jail because of that legislation, the SOGI agenda, the sexual orientation and gender identity. But praise the Lord, the House passed it, but the Senate took it out on every bill. It was in there in the infrastructure bill, but it was taken out. You know that you had to deal with corporations that no matter what their sexual orientation or gender identity. But every bill that has come out of the House with social language has been cleansed by the Senate. So you can rejoice in the fact that we have friends in the Senate that are taking care of them. One of them is our senator from Missouri, Roy Blunt. Now, I can talk about Roy Blunt because he's not running again, I guess. But one of the things John Ashcroft taught me, and you need to know, if you want people to talk to you in confidence, then you have to be confident in confidence about them and what they do. But Roy Blunt, who I knew as state rep, secretary of state, his son became governor over in Missouri. He's in the leadership of the Senate. And praise the Lord when you have people in the leadership, because then they can let you know when really you need to get people to call and talk to their senators and when it's really not going to happen. And praise the Lord, all the bills that have come from the House to the Senate, the SOGI language has been removed. And so we don't have any of that sexual orientation or gender identity information or promotion into the legislation that has been passed. If you see it coming out of the Senate, it's not going to have it in it as long as we have the right people in there. And we have some wonderful people. Your senator, now he's what I was telling some of the folks today. You know, he's one of those wise guys that keeps, and not a wise guy, excuse me. He's one of those great guys that kind of keeps his head down, because in Washington, D.C., you have some people that are totally principled, you have some people that are totally political, and you have some people all the way in between. And if you want to get your principles accomplished, you have to understand a little bit about politics. You can't just rant and rave. Might be on the TV shows, but you have to work behind the scenes, because we're a divided nation. And Senator Moran is one of those wise people that stands on his principles, but also knows how to work the system. Roy Blunt is like that. Maybe Jerry Moran will become one of the leaders in the Senate in the future. I would love for that, or somebody like that. But we have some people that are from Missouri also that are very, very much out there, that are making sure that people know what the issues are. How many of you have heard of our former attorney general over there in Missouri, Josh Hawley? Have you ever seen him on TV making sure that people understand, even with the Supreme Court nominee taking place right now? Brother Hawley, professing Christian, is just a wonderful champion for the cause of righteousness. Tom Cotton from Arkansas, just to take, especially now in this military things, he was in the military himself. James Langford, who's the head of the Values Action Team. The Values Action Team is a group of senators that come together around the issues I just talked about, the moral issues. They call them the social issues. He was a youth pastor for a large Christian camp in Oklahoma. How many of you know what Mike does, my son? And he's been up there with me. Do you think maybe they can relate? We can relate with James Langford when it comes to Christian camping. Of course, my son for many years, the camp director at the Wilds, and he is just a wonderful guy that is working on these issues. Of course, by the way, in the House they have a VAT team as well. And guess who's the chairman of the VAT team in the House of Representatives? Over 100 members in the House that are focusing in on these social issues. How many are there totally? I'm sorry, this government class. 465. And, excuse me, I did say there. 435. Just checking to see if you're back there. 435. The representatives, and of course, our goal ultimately is to have 435 what we call ambassadors that will be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and ambassadors for righteousness around the country, that they know their member of Congress very well, and so that we can get to any congressman or any senator anytime we need to with the truth of the Word of God. And so this oh, by the way, I didn't give you the answer. How many of you ever heard the name Vicki Hartzler? Vicki Hartzler was a state rep that worked along with me in Missouri to pass the marriage amendment when I was here in the state, or I was there in the state. And then she later ran and defeated a Democrat, went to Congress. Now she's the head of the Values Action Team. Now she's running for Senate in Missouri. Do you see how all these things happen? You get to know them in your local community. You get to know them in your state. And before long, you go with them to Washington, D.C., and they already know you. You don't have to build a relationship. But my job is to try to help individuals and congregations and organizations build relationships with their member of Congress so they can be salt and light, so they can make a difference. So about this SOGI language, we've got to make a difference. We've got to continue to defeat it. And someday we're going to need to have a situation where we can outlaw it. When I say outlaw it, that it's not something that anybody can say that we can't to speak out against, because as long as the Bible is the Bible and the truth is the truth, we're going to speak the truth. Amen. But remember what the Bible says, we must do it in love. Speak the truth. Yeah, that's an important thing, and that I try to teach those that are involved with me in Washington, D.C. The whole family issue of SOGI language. Number two is the Hyde Amendment. Hyde Amendment. How many of you have heard of the Hyde Amendment? Oh, good. So now, who can I pick on this time? Okay, Nathan, I saw your hand, and since, what's the Hyde Amendment? Okay, you've heard it. Okay, well, you're going to learn what it is. Good. Somebody know what it is besides heard it? It's the amendment that was passed by Representative Hyde. He sponsored the bill that made it so that you cannot use federal funds for abortions. That's the Hyde Amendment. It's illegal to use federal funds for abortions. Even the abortion clinics are told when any money goes, and we've been trying to defund Planned Parenthood for a long time. We were one vote away from it under the previous administration when Senator McCain went this way instead of that way. I was in the chamber when that happened. And how disappointing. And he's met his maker in that regard. And so, that vote caused us not to be able to defund Planned Parenthood and to codify in law that you would not be able to use funds, so it would no longer be a Hyde Amendment, it would have been a law that you could use no federal funds for abortions. So the Hyde Amendment still stands, but every bill coming out of the House of Representatives right now is to change the Hyde Amendment and to be able to use federal funds. Now, I understand abortion is a debatable issue to a lot of people. It's not debatable when it comes to the Word of God. You know, God is the giver and taker of life. You know, in sin did my mother what? Conceive me. Life begins at, you are a me at conception. Psalm 139, read it for yourself. Boy, that's a person in the fearfully and wonderful made in the womb. And I don't think I have to convince this group, but I have to convince people up there that it's murder. Amen. And that we're taking innocent life. And that Hyde Amendment, it's one thing not to have abortion. Of course, there's some Supreme Court cases that are pending right now. We're going to get some rulings this spring because states are supposed to pass their own laws. And there's talk that maybe Roe v. Wade will be at least modified, if not terminated, as far as putting the decision back to states instead of the federal government saying you can't have pro-life laws. And there's a move afoot for a lot of pro-life laws. And it's becoming more and more positive for life with the ultrasound that Nathan and Kara saw on Friday, and people can start seeing this is a life. They can see this is a formed life. But the percentage for people that say our taxpayers shouldn't pay for it are off the charts. And so therefore, the Hyde Amendment is very popular to the people. But behind the scenes, every bill, they're trying to get rid of the Hyde Amendment. And That's a not only a pro-life bill, that's a pro-family bill, because not only is it good for the child that's being taken, it's good for the mother. If you do the researches, it's good for the mothers and the anguish that comes. Now, as we said this morning, God forgives. It's all under the blood. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. But the mental duress, the difficulty that comes to many women that have been through that horrendous situation and making those difficult decisions. And I would just say all of us that love the Lord and love families, we should be helping and encouraging mothers to bring forth the child. And if they're not willing to raise the child, put the child up for adoption. There's a lot of families looking for the opportunity to adopt children. But this is a battle going on that affects the family, affects children, and it's a battle again. We're losing in the House, but hallelujah, we're winning in the Senate. And I can report to you that so far this year, and over the last 2 years, no bills have passed to eliminate the Hyde Amendment that have gone to the president's desk and been signed into law. And by God's grace, I pray that will continue to be the case. Number three is the training of the family. The training of the family. I'd like to get positive now. I've been kind of negative. Can I get positive now? Because there's a move at foot for parental choice in education. Do you know what that issue is all about? The issue is to allow the finances that pay for education to follow the child and not go to the school. The funds go to the parents, and the parents get to choose where their children go to school. Be it public school, be it private school, be it Christian school, be it homeschooling. There's a movement at foot for that to take place on the federal level. The past administration made advances like you can't believe. Betsy DeVos, who was the Secretary of Education out of Michigan, has dedicated her life and her family finances. Her father-in-law owns Amway. And they have a DeVos Foundation there in Michigan that has been working behind the scenes for years trying to get parental choice in education. And do you know that there are states across this country that now provide parents funds that they can use to go to the school of their choice? As a matter of fact, vouchers, that it's been called, has been upheld twice at the Supreme Court. It is constitutional. And so praise the Lord, there are places that are passing more and more parental choice laws. Let me give you a champion of parental choice in Washington, D.C. Senator Tim Scott. How many of you saw his response, to the speech of the president about a year ago? Just a wonderful African-American brother, my brother in Christ, who is championing the cause of parental choice in education. And I'm telling you, here's a guy that not only prays and reads his word, but he has an accountability partner that holds him accountable in his personal life, and he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can now count him as a friend, as I've had the privilege of getting to know him and to be able to work with him. But we need to be involved in pushing parental choice. The forces of evil never stop. If they don't get it this year, they'll put it in next year. If they don't get it next year, they'll put it in the next year. But it seems like sometimes we in the Christian movement, and we in sometimes what we would call the conservative movement, if we lose, we just complain and go home and stop working and praying. But I'm telling you, parental choice is alive and well, and especially through this pandemic that just took place. There were a lot of terrible things that happened with the COVID-19 pandemic. But some positive things that happened. Parents started to see what's being taught in their schools. And guess what? Parents started saying, we don't like it. And they not only started to bombard their school boards, and they voted even in San Francisco to get rid of school board members. Have you heard of San Francisco? It's where Nancy Pelosi is from. The most liberal district in the country. But even there, they're outraged at what's happening. But it's also caused a lot of parents to exit the public school system and say, we want private school choice. We want that opportunity to put our children where they can be. And that is happening. Now, one other situation, number four, that you need to understand that I am totally against and working overtime right now to stop is universal pre-K education for children across this nation. In the Build Back Better program that was defeated. Hallelujah. It was defeated. I wish it would have been defeated for this reason. And I constantly would talk to people on the Hill about this. But the Build Back Better had universal financing so that you could put your three-year-old and four-year-old in a public school and it's 100% paid for. Money-wise, for some people, sounds great, doesn't it? But who's supposed to be raising children? Is it the government or is it the families? The Bible is very plain on who's supposed to be doing that. And if we give up control of our children, you know, young people's directions are set by the time they're 5 years of age. And that's why the Bible says you're supposed to train up a child in the way he should go, Proverbs 22:6. You're supposed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Because you have to start early. As a matter of fact, if you don't start training your children when they're young, they'll start training you. Right? Oh, are you okay? Okay. Oh, let's go to bed. Oh, and then when you have twins, it's And I don't know if any of you dads had to hold your wife in bed sometimes. Because, you know, about the third time they scream and cry. Now, they're all taken care of. They're fed, they're diapered, they're not tangled up in their crib toys. Everything's good, okay? I'm not telling you to not check on them. But about the third time they get you to run in, then they say, I got them. I'm training them. And so sometimes hun, they'll be, oh, no, they'll go hoarse. Hallelujah, we won't hear them any longer. See? It works. But you have to... You know, you have to train them and put them in their schedules. And we're the ones that are supposed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, it's our responsibility to do that. And we need to have that right. And that right's being taken away from us more and more and more. And if we give up our children earlier and earlier and earlier, what a tragic situation that will be. We need to take our responsibility seriously and want to. And some of you, I'm sure, take it so seriously that you just home educate your children. And praise the Lord for you, even though I know the work that takes. It's hard enough, you know, to just be a godly family and a godly mother and take care of all the different responsibilities, but then to also, you know, train your children and have that education of that mental, physical, social, and spiritual aspect. And husbands, if your wife is doing that, you help. Not just in the education, but you help in the home. You know, you be a servant to the wife that's serving you and serving the children and ultimately serving the Lord. But I'll tell you, praise the Lord, if we didn't have a good Christian school in Kansas City where we were, I would have wanted to be home educating our children. And guess what? All of our grandchildren were home educated. And I don't know, can Nathan read? Have you found out if he can read? Seems like he can even direct music and play the cello. I think he can do a lot more than a lot of students that went to school. Because God doesn't command school, He commands education. And by the way, there's a difference, right? And just because you went to school doesn't mean you got educated. We have some of those people around. Just because you didn't go to school doesn't mean you didn't get an education. And it's Christian education that we want. These are four issues that are going on right now. And praise the Lord, so far, none of the bad things have happened. That SOGI language, the whole Hyde Amendment, to the elimination of the Hyde Amendment, or the control of 3 and 4 years old, that's just pure socialism. That's what Build Back Better was, just a socialistic society. And one of the good things that we want to see happen, parental choice in education, is on the march. So there's hope. But guess what, folks? God uses people. We don't deserve mercy. We deserve judgment as the United States of America. But God is a long-suffering, merciful God. Aren't we glad? And because of that, we still have not seen some of these terrible things take our country. But it's going to happen if we don't get involved. And I'm not just talking about your pastor. I'm not just talking about the deacons. I'm talking about everybody getting involved. And that's what we try to help churches do through Advance USA, is to help you all get involved as salt and light, making a difference. Salt, stopping the evil things. Light, pointing the way to the good things, so that we can have righteousness once again exalted in this nation. And so that we can again see our nation bringing good upon those that do good and evil upon those that do evil. And so, on the days ahead, as Pastor may talk to you about getting involved, and you say, what's it take to get involved? Well, for a ministry, it takes somebody that's willing to kind of lead up in that that ministry. The contacting with members of Congress and trips to Washington, D.C. so you can build relationships with your members of Congress. And I do the training and all that kind of thing. And then somebody that then can communicate to the church when it's time to make the phone calls or send the emails or go to the local offices. It takes somebody like that. It takes also a church being willing to financially support Advance USA on a monthly basis, kind of like I become a missionary to Washington, D.C. for a lot of churches, so that those funds, none of those funds come to me. Those funds go to take care of travel expenses, to take care of the Washington office that we have up there, and to be able to get out the information that needs to be sent out at the appropriate times. But it takes, as we always say, it takes donors and it takes doers. Isn't that what it takes for the mission field? Some need to go, and some need to stay and support those that go. And so I'm praying that if the Lord would lead you and your church and to be a part of Advance USA, I would love to continue to participate in that process with you, because we need to build the house on the solid rock. And then we need to protect it. Right? Did you have insurance for all this? Sorry about what happened, but aren't you glad you were protected? Well, guess what? We need to be protected in the United States of America as well. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being in this great country, of knowing the fact that we can boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and not be afraid of the consequences at this present time. And that we can participate in our government so that we can have good legislation that will protect families and bring good upon those that do good and evil upon those that do evil. Help us, Lord, to be a part of all this. Help us to be involved. I pray, Father, that each one of us will pray for our country and those in authority over us as we're commanded. And I pray, Lord, that you'll burden our hearts to be involved as only you can help us to be involved and have the victory. Help us to remember that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor. According to that clock, I made it. But I better get down before what's your clock say?
It says 5 after 7.
No, it doesn't. Check him out. 6:59. Woo!
I asked Brother Herbster to speak on that. And of course, he's doing a family conference, and he pointed out, Sunday night would be a good time to do that because it does deal with family issues. And I am very burdened over that. And you know, I know that we have folks in our church who have a lot of complaining to do, and rightly so, with what goes on in our country. And I know that as a result of that, it's easy to complain. But, you know, if we can do something about it, I think it would be wonderful. And so I am going to take a moment, or 20 or 30 or 50 moments, depending on what you would want to do. If there's any questions that you'd like to ask on Brother Herbster's presentation of Advance USA, or how you could be involved in that, You know, I'm sure he'd be willing to answer that, and we won't hold him accountable for going after seven. Now, if you need to leave, you could do so. But.